You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
On this vote, the yeas are 52, the nays are 35. 3/5 of the senators duly chosen and sworn not having voted in the affirmative, the motion is not agreed to.
And with that simple motion last night, the auto industry bailout and the state of the economy once again took center stage in world headlines, blowing the Blagojevich mess off the front pages. The $14 billion bailout of the auto industry died in the Senate last night. Congressional Republicans were the main opponents, and they kept the vote under 60. The breakdown leaves the fate of the big three automakers and all of the jobs in limbo. And joining us now to discuss the bill's death from both the Washington angle and the local angle in Michigan, where people were watching this very, very closely, are Todd Zwillick, Capital News Connection in D.C. Todd, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning, John.
And Sarah Hewlett, Detroit reporter for Michigan Radio, joins us from Detroit. Sarah, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
First, Todd, what was it that couldn't make this deal happen in the end?
It seemed like it came down to an issue of pay parity with the UAW and what that means. Part of the deal that the Republicans and Democrats and UAW were trying to work out in the end was a provision that would have knocked the UAW pay contract down to equality with what workers for the Japanese automakers in America, Honda, Toyota, Nissan, down to what they make. And it was the timeline to get to that. Republicans wanted the UAW to get to that pay parity point relatively quickly, within a few months or a year. The UAW was looking out to 2011, or if you ask some Republicans, with no date certain at all, some point in the future.
Any idea, Todd, what percentage of wages, what dollar amount were we talking about in this issue when it came to down to the final end?
Oh, boy. John, I'm not sure.
Yeah, what is the amount that the UAW workers make over and above what, say, Toyota workers make in Kentucky or Alabama?
I'm not positive. I want to say that I heard an average of 40% above.
40%. But you might want to ask.
It's a lot of money, and it's a lot of money to the auto companies too, because it all adds up. We're talking about billions.
Well, the view Absolutely. From the mayor of Detroit's window this morning is going to be a little dimmer than it was yesterday.
When I look out my office window, I look directly across the street, and I see General Motors. And having grown up and lived in the city of Detroit most of my life, if you had asked me when I was, say, 12 or 15 years old, can you ever envision a point in American history in the future when GM might not be around, I would have told you you're crazy. It's never going to happen. And yet we're at that point.
That's Detroit Mayor Ken Cockerell speaking about the failure of the bailout. Sarah Hewlett, is that a fair sort of summing up of the sentiments in Detroit this morning?
Oh, I think so. I mean, the news, of course, hit late last night about the failure of this vote, but I think that the predictions of a complete collapse of the industry are just going to reach a fever pitch here today. And, you know, this has been a rough year for the city. Of course, the mayor that we just heard there, Mayor Cockerell, is only in office because the elected mayor to this term is sitting in a jail cell. And this is just adding to the terrible news that the city has just weathered over the last year.
Sarah, you heard Todd talking about this issue with the UAW wage parity with auto workers down in the South,
yeah,
where there aren't union contracts. How does that issue sit in Detroit? Since it appears, at the very least, some are going to try to make the argument that it was the UAW's fault that this thing failed.
Sure. Well, I can tell you it's not going to sit well with the union workforce. I mean, there's this sort of disconnect that we've been seeing between the view of this situation with the auto industry here in Michigan and the view of it, elsewhere in the country and in Washington, D.C. And what UAW workers will tell you is that, you know, they've made concessions, and we now have in this latest contract this two-tiered wage structure where the new workers are making half what the more established workers are making. And, you know, that's one of the points that folks here make, is that people in Washington, you know, that they just don't get it, that they don't get that bankruptcy is not an option for lawmakers, that people won't buy cars from a bankrupt automaker. And I think this is just going to make that rift even bigger.
Todd, there are two things going on now in Washington. One is the Bush administration could potentially act unilaterally in some way. And secondarily, hasn't there been a new proposal by some Republican senators?
There has been another proposal, but Adora, the Senate is gone and the House is gone, and they have said that they're truly gone. They always say that, but they are truly gone. Senators headed for the exits, and many had flights early this morning. I think the proposals, at least for this session, are done. Now, you're correct that there are options in the Bush administration, and Ohio, Michigan, Missouri lawmakers last night who were extremely disappointed, to say the least, with how this turned out, immediately are throwing it onto the lap of the White House, urging, pleading, begging President Bush to order Henry Paulson, the Treasury Secretary, who's been reluctant to do so far, to use authority under the TARP, under the $700 billion rescue plan for the financial services sector, to use that money. There's about $15 billion left in that account right now, and to use it for GM and Chrysler if they enter a crisis point in the next few weeks here.
And how likely do you think that is, given the political dynamics at the moment?
Well, you know, the White House reached an agreement with congressional Democrats. The White House was actually on their side. Don't forget, it was the White House that brokered this deal with Barney Frank and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Senate Democrats. It was Senate Republicans who blocked this. So Henry Paulson, like I said, has been extremely reluctant, in fact, refusing to use TARP for this purpose. However, he hasn't had his back up against the wall. He hasn't been the last the last option, and now he may be.
Well, let's pull back just for a second. I mean, it is conceivable that because of the vote last night, you know, the big three go down the tubes. But it's also conceivable, let me just take from your remarks a moment ago, Sarah, and from what you were saying, Todd, the possibility, I mean, can the big three make it until Barack Obama kind of resets the deck here on January 20th? Is there enough cash for that to happen, or some sort of bridge band-aid policy that could be given to the big three to get them to January 20th? And then you kind of reset the deck and look at the big policy implications. And as for a bankrupt auto company, Sarah, I mean, people bought Chryslers when Chrysler was in a bailout scheme with the federal government. And, you know, right. Well, it was close, and every airline I've ever flown has been in bankruptcy at one time or another, and I still got on the plane. What did workers say to that?
The difference that people see with the airlines and the auto industry is that it's one thing to buy a ticket for a few hundred dollars to go across the country. It's another thing to invest, you know, upwards of tens of thousands of dollars for a very major purchase. And, you know, the worry is that the company won't be around to service it and to make good on the warranty. That's the difference that people see with that.
Todd,
on the question of what happens with in the next few weeks, I mean, we've got analysts here in the state saying that GM could start shutting production down as early as next week just to preserve the cash that they have.
So we don't have a lot of room for error. Todd, any other outlandish scenarios that might get this to January 20th?
Well, to go to your question of January 20th, exactly, that's the whole point of trying to get Henry Paulson to use that TARP money. It would only get them that far, to get them to the next administration, to the next Congress with even more Democratic votes, and a president who's even more willing than the last one to put together some kind of survival package for the auto companies. Yes, the whole point of that is to use Carl Levin, the senator from Michigan, was saying last night that they've got $15 billion in the TARP account now. They wouldn't need anything close to that probably just to get them to, let's say, mid-February or the beginning of March. Other people were throwing numbers around 8, 9, 10. I think that depends on the details. But that would be the whole point, just to get them there.
So we're basically in the gift zone. It's somebody's got to come up with a $10 billion Christmas gift for the big three, or maybe they aren't going to make it. Todd Zwillich, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Todd Zwillich is from Capital News Connection. And Sarah Hewlett, the decorations are up in downtown Detroit, eh?
Yes, they are for now.
Looking pretty sad. Sarah Hewlett, Detroit reporter for Michigan Radio, thank you for being with us.
Thanks a lot.
Well, if you don't have a gift for the auto industry, help us out here with the holiday season beginning. We want your gift expertise. Save the auto industry if you want to, but just save a few dollars by giving us some gift suggestions at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. You know, I always dread the gift lists.
They're hard.
I do not have the talent. It's getting harder this year.
So what are you doing? I mean, are you still buying gifts? Are you making gifts? Are you not giving gifts? We want to hear your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE.